Accession number 18252, Reel 3.
Who the bloody hell are you? This, no, I'm telling you exactly what he
this
said.
What he said, yeah.
Who the bloody hell are you to interfere with brigade communication?
Yeah.
I said, sir. I said, it tells you army signal instructions that you use your own initiative. I said, but apart from that, I asked Major Griffin. He said, do it.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't a bloody signal officer, not Major Griffin.
Yeah.
And bloody well think what you think you're doing. And he went. So when, never get the decision between, but quite at that period, you see, after everything was over. So about 20 minutes after, in comes, now, I shouldn't have done this, in comes Major Griffin. I've been on there,
I was
rolling the shit together, and I did my job.
Yeah.
So he looked at me, he said, what's to do with you, Neary? I said, nothing, sir. Well, it's not going to say something. So I said, he said, what's to do? I don't know. So I said, they've had the signal officer, and I said, he gave me a bit of a telling off, like,
What
about, so I told him, he said, well, didn't you tell? But he said, I ain't a bloody signal officer, not Major Griffin, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
He said, didn't you tell him that I gave you? I said, yes, sir. So, well, what did he say? I said, he's a signal officer, not you. He said, I was a bloody signal officer before he came up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said it. I said, get him out, sure. On the phone, and he's ringing his bloody phone, I could hear him at the headquarters saying, exchange, sir. Hawkins. And he went. He couldn't get him, so he went. So it must have been right over. I shouldn't have said it.
They were the same rank, these two guys?
Oh, no, he's major.
Right, yeah, so who's a major? The signals guy?
No.
The major, your guy.
The commander, which was Major C.W. Griffin.
Yeah, and the signals guy was
a left-hand, but corrupt to major.
Got it, okay.
Up to captain.
So,
he came back, and then he said, there's a four platoon going, right forward with the Belgian resistance. Would you take the one of the sets and do it there? So we're there a few days working that. Pulled us back. We moved to one of the stations in Brussels, in Antwerp.
Yeah.
And then we didn't work. We moved forward and we landed at a place called. Or we arrived at a place called Lommel.
Yes, Lommel and Bledel. Is there another place called Bledel afterwards? Right.
Lommel, was the Belgian side of the Escaut Canal.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We landed on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Sunday morning, could have been the bridge. I remember the bell ringing. The bell was ringing for church.
Mm.
Now, I'm not just being religious into it, but being Sunday morning, I'm not particularly religious, but Catholic, I thought we'd go to Mass.
Yeah.
And I was free.
Yeah.
Now, as I was going through the gate to go, I don't know, we knew what night it was doing with the bells, I presume.
Yeah.
And I was free to do it. But I met an old native man was signalling, he was called Bernard Duckett.
Yeah.
And he was a little man, we thought he was 37, but when I seen him here, he was 39.
Mm.
A real good little man. But I'd also heard of my old comrade at the C Company, he was a reserve signaller, actually, that how brave you were, because he said in Normandy, they'd be with the faces in the ground, this is what passed to me,
yes.
What we're doing. Yeah. And there you'd be strumming in the line and never bother.
Yeah.
And great friend of mine who I met after 50 years said to me about him, he said, get down. And he said, it's not being faithful, but I'm just telling you how he was.
Yeah.
He said, oh, all right, it has to be. I put my faith in Christ and I'll learn you. Anyhow, I knew him quite well in England. He was 6 or 7 months before he went abroad. So we went to Mass together, came back. Night time, they moved up to the canal.
Mm.
So we moved up in the night, into the evening, up into the woods. And it was planned that they would come with the collapsible boats quietly, and then midnight, so we'd go over the canal.
Yeah, Merzesco Canal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, as usual, it started to rain.
This is night time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really poured down.
Yeah.
We stuck there and we're waiting, no smoking, all quiet.
Yeah.
At a certain time, the guns opened up.
Mm.
So we carried the boats forward, set. The bank was very steep, right down.
Yeah.
It can all be about 50 yards wide, I guess.
Yeah.
Into the boat.
Well,
yeah. Three of them slid down and they got drowned.
Yeah.
We crossed it, pitch black. You could see only part of the guns flashing, you know,
yeah.
The shell. We got into the wood, and it was such a shambles you couldn't see it. You could see him in front of you.
Right.
So, wireless communication went bust in the trees, it was hopeless.
Yeah.
And so we stopped where we were after we got to the other side.
Yeah.
Come, and it poured down all night long. It's terrible.
Was there much stuff coming on the other side? I mean, you know, German activity and so on the other side.
We got to our side, the other side, yeah. But them on the other side were getting the shit. You know.
Yeah, got it, because the shells. Yeah.
So, when it came down, tracks saturated everything, and cherries were all around us.
Yeah.
So, Major Griffin, quick, thought out. What they found out, you see, when it came down, them that thought they wouldn't permit to build a bridge, thought they were right, but they were getting fired on.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do it. So we had to do a quick clearance through the woods then, and they helped the company roll like ones mixed up. So yeah. We tossed up for the coin, who'd take the radios, we went into attack with the lads.
Mm.
So you're with Bob and the rest of me, you know, but you're...
Yeah, yeah.
So Joe Swope lost, and I carried the stewards. So the set, going with Major Griffin.
Yeah.
So we burst through the edge roads all around us, into the open. As we get in the open, the German paratroopers are all there, dug in.
Paratroopers then?
German paratroopers.
Yeah.
So, I'm just telling you that it was. Mm. And we got through behind us. I can remember,
yeah.
I turned around, I'm going frightened. It must have been the Irish ancestors.
Not at that stage, but I guess what happens is that at that stage you can't be frightened. Because you've got to do things. There's things to be
it's
done.
It's adrenaline.
And you've got to do it.
It's adrenaline, yeah.
But I guess afterwards, when you sit down in a bit of peace and quiet, you think to yourself, oh, well, then that's when you become frightened.
No. I want to speak for myself, I wasn't.
Right, okay.
The only thing that ever really shut up me is when the shells were coming down and you couldn't do out about it.
Yeah.
And even then,
yeah.
I just said a prayer. And it, so,
yeah.
Down under there, so I shoved my bent up piece of an object, and his hands went, it's a good job he did. I thought they were the most frightened, like, really. It was them and me.
When you say you shoved the bayonet up his nudger?
Up his nose.
Up his where?
Nose.
Up his nose?
Yeah.
Right, up his nose. Got it, okay, yeah.
Yeah, well.
I thought you meant up his arse or something.
No, well, no, they were facing me, you see.
Yeah.
And they were turned round and you were there, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But now, you know, you're a man to kill a human being.
Like that is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Because that's very personal, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. You're laughing now, but you know.
Yeah.
But the hands went up.
Yeah.
When we got them with the bayonet, they didn't matter at all. I don't believe it.
No, absolutely.
You know, they're known for it to the British.
Yeah.
I was never frightened in close quarter fight. I've been in one or two.
It's funny, that, isn't it? Really? Isn't it?
I think it's mad gear ancestry.
Possibly.
It's
yeah.
like your own.
It's inbred, inbuilt, isn't it?
It is.
Well,
it's the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Thanks very much. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, you want to move this and then
yeah.
you can...
Can we just stop just a minute?
Yeah.
Stop it. Right, so we're up to the Merzesco Canal.
Yeah. So, when it came down, they're all around us, so we cleared them out, you know, with a rifle and the bayonet.
Mm.
And then we see this little cottage with about 9 mess tins all laid in a row.
Yeah.
So, we're waiting for them coming out, we see the only Jew come out, so they got shot up, took prisoner.
Yeah.
So then there were more, I understand, 15 Scottish further along were being held up going over the SK, so the orders got through that we had to clear along the banks, through the fields, to clear them to take the pressure off the flanks,
yeah.
which we did, and went through the carriers, racing through the fields, but there were fields there, so it relieved some pressure.
Yeah.
So then we moved back to the bank and dug in and waited from there.
There were a couple of villages there that you mentioned that when that 15th Division, there was villages called Ursel and Dewsel.
Yeah, but we hadn't took them then.
Oh, right, okay.
So we dug in there, and just while we dug in then, the attack started for on and the planes were going over.
Yeah.
So they came over and bombed us, and I think we were looking at any casualty, but when it had finished on the SK bombers, when we got up at the trench, in front of ours, the carvery said to me, "Luke," and what they dropped, they were canisters with these cluster bombs, they dropped them all over.
Yeah.
And there's one right at the top of the trench.
Yeah.
So we threw it in the can, it blew up.
Right.
I remember.
Right.
Anyway, we moved from there, we went to do
those two villages, yeah.
But they were already been attacked by the Walsh Regiment and someone else before we did that.
Yeah.
but then we went through them, stayed for night, and then we attacked Verdell.
Yeah.
A small river there, didn't block no bridge, but anyhow, we got across it,
yeah.
And we were, A company was left forward company,
mm-hmm.
D was right forward company. And as we're going along, the machine guns are firing across from the right flank, we infiltrated.
Yeah.
So they dropped
that. That word infiltrated, what does that mean, Bob? That means.
Well, as I understand it, yeah. All these years, is that you're being caught from the flanks.
Both sides?
Either side, yeah.
Either side, yeah. Right, yeah.
In this case, from the right flank.
Yeah.
D company got worse than A company did.
Yeah.
D was forward, right, we were left. But nevertheless, as we went along, going past you.
Yeah.
So at that point, we hadn't run any artillery fire. So we're going across, it will be a mile to Tete Bladel, and we're going to the ditch for some cover, but one of the, this is, I'm telling you the truth, I mean, you never put this in report, but it's for your knowledge, this.
Yes,
not,
right.
You
know. Yeah.
And one of the, they had two forward platoons and one in reserve, that's how the others are. So the reserve one was left behind, so it's not. Major Griffin said, Neary, bring that platoon up, because Hargreaves was on the set and I was carrying the telephone. Bring the platoon up. The sergeant and the corporal had disappeared.
Yeah.
So I went back and we brought them up.
Yeah.
And the firing machine guns, and really close, so we dived into the ditch. Have a good look at this. As I dived in, the telephone came round and smacked me in the mouth.
Yeah.
It was the silliest of things, you remember?
Yes.
It brought me to.
I remember that, yeah. That's
right,
something I remember.
Really
I'd forget the name of the town, but I'd remember the telephone smacked me in the mouth.
And it was sick. I'll give it, and I'm not losing it by language, but I thought, you're bloody square any buggers. And if I could, actually, this is how you crack it. If I could have actually got near them, so Neary pops his head up, and he's going, tsh, tsh, and he soon cooled me harder.
So anyway, got back down again.
So we went up, and we moved forward again to Bladel. Moved the cherries roll around, but well, we cleared them out, either side of the road, the houses, down the further down, the Welsh regiment were fighting, and the village next to us, and they fought in the church, a real brothel going on.
Yeah.
I think some of the companies got took prisoner.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we cleared it out. Now, we're a mile away, they couldn't get the tanks through across this Michigan River. So, but we're still in communication with being open country. So we're there for a day with four companies before the battalion came up. So we're at Bladel then, and we left that after about 5 or 6 days we were there, and we went up through, across through Eindhoven, up to Saint Udenru.
Yes, there's a strange sounding name, isn't it? Saint Ergenstrude or something or other, is
well,
it?
I think it was O-D-E-N-R-O-D-E or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, and we dug in on the sandhills, and what it actually was in the Arnhem Corridor.
It's called the sort of a defensive position.
That's
around
right.
The position near Eindhoven.
That's right.
Where you were there.
Between Eindhoven and Grave.
Sorry?
Between Eindhoven and Grave it was.
Yeah, right, okay. Got it.
So we dug in it, and the actual corridor itself would only be half a mile wide, it was that.
Yeah.
So we dug in there in the sands. They come in.
Just out of interest, had the the armoured column gone through that position?
Well,
then?
They tried to go through all over the place, knocked out.
But when you were there,
had
they gone through?
Well, that's why we cleared over the escalator, so that them to get over the escape canal, and then to widen the corridor, which part of that was to clear, take the press off the canal with the belt.
Yes.
So then we went up into the corridor to keep, because they're only a quarter mile wide.
Keep it wider or as wide as you could.
That's right. And so we dug in there, while we were there, they came over, did the typhoons, ours, and decided to rocket us, which they did.
That was nice of them, wasn't it?
That's right. So we're sending these flares up and all sorts, so then they buggered off after they'd done it.
But that, was that the first time that happened to him, the typhoons had come down on you?
Oh,
and
right. We'd been bombed by the Yanks.
Bombed by the Yanks before, right.
On the Orne.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it was all a case of night patrols going down. Jerry's kept coming up. Woodchopper Wood, we called it.
Woodchopper Wood,
where they kept the night put in banging, mucking about. So we sent patrols out, and then we run into one or two of them and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, after that, now you'll have to help me here, when we pulled out of there...
Yeah, when you pulled out of St. Ergenshoed.
Yeah.
Well, the next chapter in the book is Ergenbosch.
That's right.
Right?
That's right, yeah.
You moved to the you actually moved up to a position east of there, didn't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
So as it's flying over and being in signals, you hear all sorts going on.
Yeah.
So we knew we were moving this and decided that we were going to move in kangaroos,
yeah.
Which were tanks with had the turrets removed.
Yeah, they held about 7 or 8 people.
That's right.
They? Yeah, yeah.
So we set off eventually on that, moving along to go on the roads.
Yeah.
The roads couldn't stand it anyhow. We were grumbling under it because of the condition of the roads in Holland.
Yeah.
But apart from that, we were sitting targets for the 88s and that.
Yeah.
So it was just a no-go. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they tried and tried, and eventually they decided that they would do a night attack. And missed a thing, it doesn't matter anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And the A East Lancashire's would be the spearhead.
Yeah.
But we went, if memory served me right, we tacked on this road and they were firing from the left in the night where a jerry gun and that, and we tacked.
You were going down the side of a railway line, weren't you, initially?
Before we got to that.
Oh, before you got to the railway line.
It was, we tacked this, I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah.
The one that was the outskirts.
Newland? Or Geffen, Oss?
That's right, it was them. But there's one that was called Bruggen. It was
Bruggen, yeah, I've got that here.
That's right, and it was, I think it's an area of Rosmalen.
Yes, it's just outside of Ergenbosch, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was before we attacked, you see.
Yeah.
And we took this and it was on fire.
Mm.
And then they decided two and more we'd move over. We moved across onto the fields across, lined up before the starting point, the starting line, going up point, they call it.
Mm.
And then up we moved.
Yeah.
Now the guns were firing over.
Yeah.
They had artificial moonlight, that was a searchlight, so banging on the clouds and it just gave it.
Got it. Yeah.
So we come. As we couldn't, tanks couldn't go, so we went across where they thought we wouldn't do.
Mm.
Either side of the railway line.
Mm.
We came up, we knew there were dikes there. The first dike we came to was about 4 feet wide, and they all were about 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
And the wire across us.
Mm.
So of course, across we went, but we were carrying these big wireless sets.
Yeah.
Had to carry it all, you see. One dike, two dikes, three dikes.
Mm.
And of course, we'll be eyeing at the time because you know.
So you're getting wet as you're going through, and you're soaked.
So the
weather's no good anyway, it's raining,
right.
Presumably.
And then we do tin lights on the side of the railway, we dug out with jerrys in, but we snaffled them, they didn't know we were there, you see.
Yeah.
So I meant this just remember, quite plain. The fellow next to me, I don't know whoever it was, and he said to me, bloody grand this, thank you. He said, I know. Were Marines, bloody hell, they should have sent for the Royal Navy, not the
Oh, right.
And I thought it were a bit of a laugh, you know. So we're over the lights, over until we eventually come to Terra Firma, you know, it was relatively, like it was sandy.
Yeah.
And it was still dark, and over to the right, you could see it on fire, the village over to the left.
Yeah.
And we moved up, and I had, being a signaller, I had, you don't carry a pack on your back, you carry it on the hip.
Yeah.
Have a sack,
yeah.
And I'd spare in like you needed a soldier, because you always know where you're hungry.
Yeah.
And I tied me enamel mug.
Yeah.
Through the strap.
Yeah.
And as we went along, and the guns had stopped firing, the communication were over with a music or something, and we couldn't get through on that, so we're doing runners.
Yeah.
And the pot kept tapping on with the nesting underneath.
Yeah.
Tap, tap, tap. So I put a handkerchief around to stop it.
Yeah.
So somebody said to me, Neary, that bloody pot's getting on my nerve.
Yeah.
And it was Adjutant E.C. Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he took
it
off. I'll get you a moment, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Nerves on end, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So we moved up, and it was still dark, and we came to this road. And we led down the dark, you know, wet through.
Yeah.
Up comes a car, like a jeep. Came up, pulled off, and was suspicion, walking around, so we shot the woman. Snaffled them.
Right.
And there were German officers.
Right.
They'd been out, I don't know where they'd been, but we got them.
They've been out for the night, probably just come back somewhere.
What a surprising offer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it came, we moved up again and it came dawn. Everything's quiet. But we're about 600 yards away and it's all like sand. I can remember where it was.
Mm.
And ahead of us, there was a road and there was houses here and houses there. I'll tell you how it worked to me in them days before I've seen it after.
Yeah.
And there were gaps in the houses there.
Yeah.
And we could see traffic moving in between the houses.
Yeah.
And then it coming up in between, going at a gallop, there were horses pulling guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Royal Welsh Fusiliers attacked. What the hell the name of this place?
We're outside of Bergenbosch?
Yeah, it's down there next to it. From what did they call it?
Fort Alexander? No.
No.
Yeah.
Royal Welsh Fusiliers came in and they attacked.
Vought?
No, not Vought, no. No.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. And yeah. They're driving along in the beam to see, so they're coming on the road like the clappers. Mm. And they're on the pulling these guns and limbers and shoulders. So with the CO and the companies and the 40 guys had arrived then. Open fire. So they opened fire. You're missing them. But we weren't going to miss them.
Yeah.
And they were going and going and there eventually happened a dozen guns firing.
Yeah.
And you could see them as they're going on. You could see the officer slow. I can remember sitting there yesterday.
Yeah.
And I could see the Jedi Jerry jumping and running all day. And shot, again killed.
Right.
And the horses stopped and they just started to sink.
Because the horses were getting shot.
Yeah.
As well as the Germans.
Yeah.
And
they just started to sink. Yeah. Dropping the tracks.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it went carnage all along the road. So it went quiet. And then, there's some figures come running out, and they said, "Don't fire, don't, the civilians, don't fire." So we didn't fire. And then we said, "What the hell are they doing?" And they're up. And when we got up to them after half an hour after, they weren't all there, they'd been cut up.
The dumb one?
They cut them up for food.
Well, the horses, when you got there?
Mm.
By the time you got there?
Civilians.
Yeah, because there was a lot of the Dutch people around that time were starving,
that's
weren't
right.
they? They were really that's eating. Right. They were eating bulbs and things,
right?
Right.
All they were with it.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
So we went across from there. See, in the meantime, when I'd been at St. Duden Road, I heard this voice on the phone, and the Yankees were in touch with us, and all sorts went on.
Mm.
And it was Sam Jackson come back after being wounded. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "Dear company, it's in Normandy." I'll be down in 5 minutes, he said, and he'd come down, and that's how I went to quarters.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, we moved up, and we came to, in Stormbosch, to Wilhelmina Park.
Mm-hmm. Is this somewhere near the railway station?
No.
It's before that, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, Jenny didn't know we got through, you right, in the middle of them, they didn't know, you see. When it come dawn, look when I was checking the matches.
Yeah.
And he got bloody shot up on
time. I can imagine, after that, yeah.
But you couldn't believe it, you see, to the German headquarters. But anyhow, they weren't long before they started then.
Yeah.
And then this shoulder's in bloody pasted, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we fought right from there, and I can remember, part after this it blocks, but they moved further into the city, and they decided that we'd have to move up quick to the signal office. So they got in the 15 on the brake truck.
Mm.
I got in first and I got up again the cab.
Mm.
The others piled in after, you know, all the underneath is all wireless sets and batteries and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I remember going down this narrow street, turning, very narrow street, going like the clappers, and then it turned. I can remember it, but it came on, I used to remember it, and then it turned left, went down a ramp. I couldn't see, but I could tell, you know.
Yeah.
Went in, I knew we'd got in a building somewhere, and it stopped.
Yeah.
Guys and DRs were after us, we had to go up in it, and then all hell let loose. Shells come through the roof.
Oh, right.
And they were, I think, the captain of the carriers, and another great mate of mine called Herbert Wilkinson, he was the CO's dispatch rider, he was killed. They were killed all around me, they were dead.
Yeah.
And, they were jumping out of the truck, you see, but me being up again in the car, I couldn't get out there, I lost out, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything was bloody in the hell. So they're jumping out, so when they got out, I got out and run like the clappers, you know.
Yeah.
And he quieted down, then he went to pick them all up and get them all over the place. So when I got put my rifle, breakdowns, all the wood had gone off it.
Shut off it with it.
Yeah, what they call the balance, point of balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then inside the doings, all the sets were riddled. You know?
Yeah.
So this was on a place called Buchterstrasse. So then from then, lines to lay, we laid them across Wilhelmina Gardens, onto this bridge. We laid it across, well, there was four of us. And I was stuck with Dr. Green. So when we came to this bridge...
This is the bridge near the station, is it?
Going like, that's right.
Somewhere near the station, yeah.
So we laid, but there was more bloody holes than the bridge.
Yeah.
They tried to partly blow it in the row, and you could see the, you know, underneath.
Yeah, here below it.
Yeah. And they were trying to handle a 6-pounder gun over. Mm. Oh, fellas. And we were, as it happened, this cable, the end of the cable, run out right in the middle of the bridge.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it did. So, you have to join it.
Yeah.
So, the others dug off the cable and left it to be joined. And Dodger Green, I remember him, and the shells are dropping all around, you know, and he said to me, don't you bugger off and leave me alone. You know, I said, I'm not going.
Yeah.
So, we mended this line to get on the bridge and they're dropping all around.
Yeah.
He got killed in the Ardennes.
Right.
So, we mended that. We joined it, went along, and eventually, after more fight, I remember going to the station. I can remember from going from there to the barracks, and then my mind shuts off. I can't remember a thing.
After the barracks, there wasn't very much more in terms of overbush.
I can't even remember coming out.
Well, out of the barracks?
Out of Stormwash.
Really?
Right. I must have had enough or something.
Yeah, and your mind switched off at that stage. So you can't remember anything at all then after that sort of fighting in Hergenbosch until the Mass, presumably.
Oh no, I can remember after.
Yeah.
But for that particular battle, after that, after we got to the barracks, I cannot remember pulling out of Stormwash. I can remember everything about it.
Yeah.
I cannot remember even resting after it at first.
Yeah.
The next time I can remember was, it was on the canal.
Oh, is this over the Mess? Over the Mars?
No, before the Mars.
Before the Mars.
And they broke through. We must have been resting or something. They broke through and went down from the Mars, the Jerry's, and they moved us over for security from Scottish Regiment or something.
Yeah.
And they were coming across this canal.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find where they were coming.
Yeah.
And we went on to...
Oh, the Wessem Canal.
That's the one. That's it.
Yeah.
So, there, we had to lay lines out again. Mm. And this particular day, no, night time, I was out on this again, laying the lines. Mm. So we laid them down to A Company, Bob, which was on this canal, right? And when he got some part of the cable, he said... It was November then, I think.
It was.
And I'm trying to think, it was a right cloudy night, and it was cold and damp.
Mid-November it was.
Yeah, I knew it was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cloud, the moon was out a bit, but the cloud was cutting past it.
Yeah.
And we laid this line on this road from the quarters, down past the building, the edges, right down, they were like about 5-bar gear. It come to the end about 20 yards before we got to it.
Mm.
So this... Robert Thompson and I said that we met the bottom.
Yeah.
Said, you're quicker at joining the cable. Tommy, you join it.
Yeah.
And I sent to you and Rob's on. So they went and I joined this cable.
Yeah.
I've done it, and I'm in like a hole like that,
yeah.
And there's like a low hedge there, a 5-bar gate edge, and it's about where the gate is.
Yeah, about 20 yards away, perhaps.
On the left.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just finished insulating it, when I picked my rifle up, and I could see his head.
Yeah.
And he stopped at the gate. He went through the gate, shut the gate, still. Because I couldn't tell whether they were Jerry's or whether they were my own.
Didn't have a helmet on.
It was in the half light, the moon was part but not full.
Yeah, so you couldn't tell.
So I couldn't bloody, you know, I had only a rifle anyhow,
yeah,
and I had no grenade.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if I shoot the bastards, I've lost anyhow, we had no chance.
Yeah.
If I had a grenade, that would have sorted it out.
Yeah.
But I still couldn't tell which they were.
Yeah.
And there were no sound.
Yeah.
But they shut the gate and watched them. I couldn't tell. Now, if I'd have spoke.
Yeah. And you could be dead. The other way around, you could be dead. Yeah.
And if I fired.
Yeah.
I'd only get one.
Yeah. How many were there?
There'd be about a dozen.
But, oh, my goodness.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they never seen me. That's true. And then I only went down. So I went down.
They didn't even look your way?
You see, the little, this lower edge and the, like the bushes, now I was down like this, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just going to move, and I seen them.
Yeah.
And we had my helmet on, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody blinded their eyes. I don't know, they did, but they didn't see me.
No, yeah. Because you were in clear view of them. You're only this 20 yards away. There's 12 of them, yeah. So you've got one pair of eyes, they've got 12 pairs of eyes. So you would think one of them would see you, wouldn't you?
I just
froze. Did you freeze?
I wasn't frightened.
No, but did you
just still. I didn't move.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I like that, you're walking on my own, but you know.
Yeah.
But if I'd have known, but I couldn't, you know, because nobody spoke. If somebody had spoke,
yeah.
I'm on, see? But they weren't the same.
But you can't confirm now whether they were English people or German people, really.
Not this day. You see, but I would have expected them to tell us that there were patrols out if there were ours.
Yes, yeah.
But if it were from another one, it's possible that it wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.